This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. Last week, President Trump signed an executive order temporarily rolling back pathways for many legal immigrants to come to the United States. The president cited our current economic recession and coronavirus job losses as the main reasons for slashing immigration. Lake Effect's Julian Haida recently spoke with attorney Barbara Graham to see how this executive order will affect Wisconsin's immigrants. Graham is the director of Refugees and Immigration Services at the Catholic Charities of Milwaukee.
Barbara Graham, thanks so much for joining us on Lake Effect.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
There's been a lot of news recently about President Trump limiting immigration, citing coronavirus and job protection. And I imagine that is a popular decision for a lot of his supporters. But it seems to me that the borders are already closed. It seems to me like travel internationally is already rather limited. Do you think that this executive order will make a difference, especially to the kinds of people who need to apply for visas, whether it be for work or for tourism or for residents of the United States?
The latest executive proclamation only affects people trying to get lawful permanent residency or green cards. It doesn't apply to non-immigrants, to people coming in on professional visas, to people coming in as religious workers. It only applies to people trying to get lawful permanent residency. And it doesn't apply to all of them. It doesn't apply to children, for example, of United States citizens, but it will stop children of lawful permanent residents. It will stop parents of United States citizens, but not spouses of United States citizens. So it doesn't apply to everyone trying to get a green card, but it applies to a pretty large number.
So those are people who want to get a green card, right? That's what's the permanent residence card. And that's for the people who want to stay in the United States for more than just a vacation or a summer job. These are people who are legal immigrants, as we'd consider them, not just visitors.
These are people who intend to reside in the United States, to make their life here. They can work, they get unrestricted Social Security cards. They're people who really intend to live their lives here. Their families are here, their jobs are here. They don't necessarily have to be United States citizens, but they are people whose primary residence is in the United States.
Now, I understand that the immigration system is very Byzantine, bureaucratic, whatever you want to call it. And there's a difference between people who are currently residing in the United States, awaiting a decision on their residency, versus people who are, for example, involved in a green card lottery or are applying through different means from outside of the United States. Does that play a factor here?
That's absolutely correct. And you're right. It's not only Byzantine, it's the only thing that has been described as making the Internal Revenue Service code look user-friendly. courts have described it as King Minos's labyrinth in ancient Crete. But this new proclamation, this new executive order applies only to people getting lawful permanent residency from abroad. It doesn't apply to people getting lawful permanent residency from inside of the United States. So basically, there's two ways to get lawful permanent residency. You can get it inside of the United States, which is called adjustment of status, or you can get it outside of the United States, which is called consular processing. This is applied to all the consular processing outside of the United States. Although, because the local offices can't fingerprint and the local offices can't do interviews for family-based immigration, a lot of that is on hold too.
And that's because of social distancing concerns.
Correct.
Yeah, so you have to apply in person. There's a lot of stock put into the in-person interview, and that can't be done on Zoom.
Correct. And there's two concerns. One is they have to do something called biometrics, where they take a digital scan of your face and they take your fingerprints. That's in person. That applies to people applying getting citizenship. It also applies to people coming through family members. And then there's an interview for most family-based immigration. And that's an in-person interview with an immigration officer. So there's two places where you can't go into the local office, and that's stopping people from getting lawful permanent residency from inside of the United States and citizenship.
Although I understand this is temporary, so I imagine that part gives people hope. What do you think about a 60-day delay? Is that something that really should raise concerns?
The Migration Policy Institute thinks this is going to stop 26,000 people a month from getting lawful permanent residency. And that by extension means, you know, oftentimes bringing the breadwinner in. But I think the big concern is to really follow the science, is to follow people like Anthony Fauci, who seems to really know what he's talking about. And if he thinks that needs to happen, then I think you listen to him. But it's not the kind of decision you want to make kind of on a whim without some science backing it up. His concern, my understanding, isn't so much for protecting the health of Americans, but for protecting the job market. Although if you listen to some of the world-class economists, they don't think that the immigrant community has a negative impact on the U.S. job market.
And that's generally, I've read from a lot of those same experts, because immigrants tend to work jobs that U.S. citizens tend to shy away from.
Correct. And 1,400 world-class economists wrote an open letter to Congress a few years ago saying that immigration had an overall positive impact. And most of the world-class economists, with one notable exception from a man from Harvard, don't think that even in the lower echelon jobs, the immigrants are taking away job opportunities from United States citizens. And in part, it's because United States citizens, even without high school diplomas, may compete in those lower jobs, but people recently immigrating to the United States can't compete for some of those jobs simply because of being able to speak English. So for example, you might work as a cashier at a grocery store if without a high school diploma, but if you can't speak English, you can't compete for that job.
I see. So it's totally separate markets. Now, I'm thinking, in this country, we went from effectively zero unemployment or 2% unemployment to what's looking like 10 or 15% unemployment. Does that make a difference? And to play the devil's advocate, to wait things out, you know, you referenced the Migration Policy Institute that said would prevent 26,000 people from getting their green cards. Isn't that just a delay? And in the meantime, shouldn't people just kind of, so far as people are out of work, leave those jobs to people who have lost their jobs as opposed to immigrants?
But that assumes that they're competing for the same jobs. And I don't know that that's true. And I don't think that the national experts and the economists who are better qualified to speak to that think that they're competing for the same job set.
Yeah, I mean, immigration played such a big role in the last election, and this is certainly a popular decision with a lot of President Trump supporters, as I referenced earlier. Are you concerned that because of the popularity of this, because of that conceit that limited immigration is good for employment, are you concerned that these kinds of restrictions will stay or will become a little bit more intense over the coming months after the 60-day executive order expires?
Now, I used to think once upon a time that I had at least a semi-decent crystal ball for what was going to happen in immigration. And in the last 3 years, my crystal ball shattered. I've stopped trying to make any kind of rational judgments into what might happen in the future, because it just seems to come like a tsunami, and you don't know why things are happening. It's hard to justify some of the decisions that have been made.
Now, my colleague Joy Powers did an interview with some civil rights attorneys a few weeks ago about migrants under the coronavirus, namely undocumented migrants, people who are afraid to go to the hospital, for example, if they're displaying symptoms. But as someone who works with migrants as well, now that we're well over a month into fighting this pandemic, how have you seen immigrants filling essential roles in Milwaukee? What kind of jobs do you see migrants filling that are integral to fighting this pandemic?
Well, I would back up to the first point you had made about immigrants being afraid to access certain public benefits. With the new public charge rule, a lot of immigrants right now are afraid to access things that they're eligible to access: Badger Care, food stamps, prenatal care, because they're worried it's going to have a negative impact on their immigrating a family member, on their getting citizenship, on their own immigration status. And it's not.
And tell me a little bit about the public charge rule, just for people who might not be aware of what it is.
So when we don't let you come to the United States and get lawful permanent residency, it's called being inadmissible to the United States. And one of the reasons you're inadmissible is if you're going to be what's called a public charge, that you're going to have to rely on public benefits to support yourself, that you won't be able to work. A new public charge rule came out last fall and then took effect this year, where it establishes a sort of balancing test of what will make you a public charge, what probably won't make you a public charge. And they're primarily focused on whether or not you can work. So if you're really young, that's a negative factor. If you're really old, meaning 60, that's a negative factor. Your educational background, your job background, they've been asking for FICO scores. All those kinds of things will balance to decide whether or not you're going to be a public charge. But because, like all of this stuff, it's so incredibly complicated, people just hear public charge and are worried about accessing the public benefits they should be accessing, like food stamps, or getting tested for COVID-19, getting treated for COVID-19. Immigration on their website thankfully put out a really clear statement saying, if you need testing or if you need treatment, we are not going to preclude you from getting lawful permanent residency or hold you to be inadmissible, meaning we won't let you into the United States because of getting the testing or getting the treatment. And we've tried on our YouTube channel to just do very basic, simple informational pieces for people so that they know they can get, like their children can eat and they can get badger care and they can try to stay healthy.
And with regards to what you've seen are the roles that immigrants fill in Milwaukee today in fighting the pandemic?
Well, you know, oftentimes in the Milwaukee area in Wisconsin, you know, the dairy industry is worried that they'll implode without undocumented workers. They're working in the fields, they're doing trucking, they're working. Right now they're hurt because a lot of them work in restaurants and those are closed, but they do work in grocery stores. They work in trucking. They're entrepreneurial. They are doing roofing. They are doing Uber and they're doing, they have a lot of their own businesses, grocery stores.
And things like a grocery store are an essential service. I also understand that a lot of medical workers, people who clean hospitals, people who serve food in hospitals, certainly essential in today's environment, may also be immigrants affected by this. Have you heard anything to that effect with regards to the executive order changing the way healthcare might be done, especially given how dependent it is on immigrant labor?
But that's also true for nursing homes. It's hospitals and nursing homes. No, most of my clients, and you do have a number of clients working in nursing homes and in hospitals, but most of them are working with, they filled out what's called an I-9 form. In other words, they presented what is, at least on its face, a document that would allow them to work in the United States.
I see. So this executive order does not apply to that.
No, it won't apply to them. This executive order is only applying to people trying to get lawful permanent residency. So it doesn't apply to any of the employment-based categories. And it's not going to affect, it is going to allow people to come in to work in farms. It's going to allow people to come in to work as nurses and physicians and to do research into COVID-19. And they are considered essential workers, including what you would think of as being very highly trained jobs like physicians and nurses, but also less trained jobs like people coming in to work on farms and make sure that the food production goes on.
Although if somebody has an I-9, is an immigrant working in one of these specialized essential services, a nurse or a doctor, and then leaves in the hopes of applying for a green card, that might be compromised, correct?
Correct. But if you're here lawfully, you would probably do this process called adjustment of status. You wouldn't leave the United States to go get your green card abroad. You would probably get it inside of the United States.
I see. Well, thanks for that clarification. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate this conversation. Barbara Graham is an attorney, director of Refugee and Immigration Services at the Catholic Charities of Milwaukee. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Barbara Graham is the Director of Refugee and Immigration Services at the Catholic Charities of Milwaukee, and she spoke with Lake Effect's Julian Haida.